If there was going to be a theme for today, it would be Prophet Sunday. Nobody likes prophets. Prophets are not popular in the Old Testament or in the New. John is the last of the Old Testament prophets, even though he shows up in the beginning pages of the New Testament. John is the last of that breed, and he got what almost all of the other ones got: death, for his efforts and his love of his people. Prophets are, by definition, though, something that we have a hard time with as a human species. You know, I don't know if you've read Rudyard Kipling's book, The Man Who Would Be King, but the way that they were able to make it through Afghanistan was that one of the Englishmen trying to sneak his way into Kafiristan pretended to be insane. And the Afghanis assumed he had to be a prophet because God had touched him in the head a little bit and made him just a little off. When God touches his spirit on prophets, they don't act the way they're supposed to. And they begin to take on two very important tasks. The first, especially in Israel, prophets are these perfect mirrors for people to see what they've become to God. Many times they do it in words. They'll stand and make oracles that are known from God. But also, sometimes they embody it. The story of Hosea comes to mind. Hosea was married to a woman named Gomer. Gomer, which is one of the most unfortunate names in the Bible for a girl to have. No one names their little girl Gomer. Gomer was a prostitute. And the whole point that God had in Hosea marrying Gomer was to be able to walk around Israel and say, "Hey, see me with my wife? Some catch, huh?" Well, this is you with God. You're a harlot, worshiping other gods and not keeping your covenant with him. Just so you don't miss it, I thought I'd get married to one so you could figure out what it looks like. Obviously, they didn't take to Hosea very well. The other thing, they always tend to go straight for the head. You know, you don't see them too often standing on street corners, prophets in the Old Testament. They usually go into the king's courts and put that great big mirror into the face of the king and the nobles and say, "This is what you're doing to the people. Stop it." Often go inside the temple and show the priests this mirror of what they are. Nobody likes to see themselves reflected in God's mirror. The other thing they do is they tell them, "You have to repent. Change the way you're going. Come on. Or else you're going to have this consequence come about." Prophet, unfortunately, takes on this term for us of being a fortune teller or a future teller. The word prophet is derived from the Hebrew word that means spokesman, someone who speaks on behalf of God. So these prophets, touched by God's Spirit on their heads like a halo, go out and prophesy. So we can understand why most prophets begin their books by having God call them and then trying to talk God out of it. No one wants to be a prophet because it's a rough duty. What they try to do by showing people what they look like and by God's wrath coming on them was trying to push them into the shape of a mold, if you will, of what a righteous person of the kingdom of God looked like. Now, some of you might not be old enough to remember these, but when I was a kid, we used to go on long trips. And invariably, there were these little rest stops we would go to. And for a quarter, they had these machines that would pour liquid plastic into a mold and give you a little dinosaur. I loved those things. Not because I wanted the dinosaur, but because if you put it on the back shelf of your dad's Buick, it would melt on the way to your grandmother's house. And it was kind of fun to sit there and watch this thing slowly misshapen and dribble down into a big puddle of plastic that your dad was never going to get off of there. Resale value of the car went down by 25%. We didn't get a lot of these when we were kids. But I'm reminded of what happened to Israel every time God squeezed them into the shape of a righteous person. They'd hop onto the shelf of their normal lives. Before long, the temptation and their own vices like sun would slowly shape them down into a puddle of sinful mess. And this ended up a cycle of the prophets in Israel's history. Israel would melt away into something undistinguishable from what God meant them to be. The prophets would come along and tell them, "Repent or something bad happens to you." Something bad would happen. and they'd get pressed in again one more time to the shape of the righteous Israel, only to go back to that cycle over and over and over again. There's so many prophets in the Bible telling us about this painful cycle. And then comes John. John the Baptist comes to tell them that the cycle is about to be broken forever. He comes like an Old Testament prophet. He has the same message that they did before. Repent. I love that word in Greek. Metanoia. Take a new direction. Change the direction you're going in. Turn around. And so what we see inside here is John very, very symbolically bringing them out to the River Jordan. This wasn't just the only water in town. This was the border of the Holy Land that they crossed into with Joshua. He was taking them out of the country, out of the promised land, and having them cross back in again. He was saying, repent of your sins and then take possession again. It was a reboot of the whole idea of their role as Israel to prepare them for the coming of Jesus. He knows he's an old story about to end. John tells them, I baptize you with water for repentance, to turn around and take a new direction. You've seen that before. Because there's someone else coming now. Someone who will baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. This idea of a mold squeezing us into the shape of a righteous person gets changed with the coming of Jesus, because he changes us from the inside out. We heard this story about Isaiah just a moment ago, about lions lying down with lambs and lions eating grass. I was teasing Peter at the first service because I was like, tell me what sort of stomach you have in a cow to eat grass. No lion could live if it tried to eat off of that. It's an image that Isaiah is using to tell us that something on the inside, not just our habits and what we do, but something in our spiritual DNA is going to change. That's going to make what is normal for us something abnormal. And what was before impossible for us to do would be something that we can do, even though before it was impossible. That something is Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus comes into the world and the cycle that all of the story of Israel has been in is broken into a linear path to something else. It's broken because the old sin and repentance has been taken away by Jesus paying for our sins on the cross. And our hope is not just to go back into the circle again. Our hope is for life eternal because of his resurrection. So maybe we don't need prophets anymore. Except that the Spirit of God does come back into play again. But he doesn't just rest on our heads and make us look a little odd and we say the wrong things to get people upset. The Spirit comes inside of us in Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is now in us. That DNA, that reconfiguring of who we are, begins with the Holy Spirit not sitting on us, but being in us and working on us from the inside out. That Holy Spirit inside of us begins to alter who we are, and the mirror that used to be shoved in our faces is inside. It's inside showing us who we are and what we need to be. It's opening us up to this new world that we are now participating in and helps us to become what it is that God wants us to be. No longer from an outside message, but by his own message and Spirit inside of us. We become our own prophets through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then, yes, we prophesy to those around us. We hear St. Paul talk about this in a way that makes it very important. It's no longer just going out and saying, you know, you sinned. We're supposed to come to someone in love and say, it's in my heart to say to you, this is what's happening in your life. Or for them to come to you and say that, and we respond to it. Paul says, if it doesn't work with one, bring two. Maybe you were wrong and we need to get a group together. If the two of you don't seem to make any impact, bring it into the whole community, and in love, can we find out what God's word is for us now? This is the community of people changed from the inside out. And not just people that are waiting for the next melt to come, for them to have to redo the whole thing over and over again. The age of prophets is not dead. Messengers and people who speak on behalf of God are still there. They're not as popular as they were. That's sure they never were. But we're all called now to speak the voice of love from He who redeemed us and whose Spirit dwells inside of us now. The age of prophecy has been distributed, not just a few, but to a priesthood of believers. It's all about getting out there and making the kingdom of God, but this time succeeding from the inside out. Praise God. Amen.